Well, I hope you're ready for an enjoyable time this morning. We're going to turn our attention, as already has been said, towards gratitude. And that's an important thing to do because we find ourselves at this time now looking towards the coming of Christ, which is a deeply meaningful time, both personally and for us as a church. It's like the start of the religious year. But all too often, we head towards Christmas and we completely forget about Thanksgiving, like Black Friday comes before we even think about giving thanks. So this morning, we are going to intentionally pause and give thanks. And so that's just a little bit of a heads up to you. That's why there's two microphones here, because you're going to be a part of the giving thanks in this service. So it's important for you to be thinking that way. It's an important thing for us to do, because if we look at Scripture, there is a theme of thankfulness that weaves its way all the way through it. Specifically, I want to take a look at a few verses out of the Apostle Paul and what he speaks of. Listen to what he says, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians. Try to say that. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Three very packed verses. He says this: rejoice always. Rejoice how much?
Always.
Pray continually. How often? Continually, yes. Give thanks in all circumstances. What kind of circumstances? All circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It is God's will for you to give thanks. He also says this in Ephesians 5:19 to 20. He says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he repeats himself three times as he says this same thing to the church in Colossae. He says this: let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God, how? With gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this morning, we're going to do just that. We're going to give thanks. And for some of us, in order for us to do that, we need some training. We need some training in gratitude. So that's what we're going to do. And you're going to notice on your worship guide that it's blank. And it's left blank primarily for one reason, and that's for you to use it as a list for gratitude. Because the sermon guides, what they're meant for is they're meant to draw your attention back when you get bored with the preaching. And I know with such captivating preaching as mine, that never happens. But when you get bored, it like draws your attention back. Well, what we're going to do here is we're going to, rather than being drawn back necessarily to my words, what I want to challenge you is to be drawn back to a heart of gratitude. That's why it just says gratitude on the top. And I want you to begin to make a list of the things for which you are grateful, the things for which you want to say, bless God for, and you just write it down, because we're going to have an opportunity to share those towards the end of the service. So I want to encourage you to let this worship guide draw your heart back to gratitude. And let me give you a few prompts as to what you can be grateful for. First of all, you can be grateful for people. You can be grateful for a good friend, a teacher, a mentor, a spouse, a family member, a coworker. Be grateful for people. You can be grateful for experiences, for time together this weekend, having a good meal together, for a vacation, a time you were able to serve. You can be thankful for an experience. You can be thankful for comfort when you were in a rough spot and God came along and comforted you, or maybe God used the hands and feet of another person to come alongside and bring you comfort. You can be grateful for that. You can be grateful for healing, because we have a God who heals, both physically and emotionally and spiritually. And you can be thankful for that. You can be thankful for the simple things, like the smell of a good cup of coffee in the morning, for a good night's sleep, for the sound of rain on a tin roof, for a crisp morning. And you can be thankful for the big things, like things like forgiveness, God's love, His grace. You can be grateful for your church community. So there are a lot of things that you can be grateful. Yes? Because here's the deal. Gratitude is life-giving. Becca shared that just a little bit this morning. It actually is life-giving. Proverbs 17:22 tells us that a cheerful heart or an overwhelming, overflowing, gracious heart is good medicine. And a joy and a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So gratitude is good for you. So where do we get this magic elixir called gratitude that is so good for us? Well, the first thing you need to know is that gratitude flows from God's presence. Gratitude flows out of God's presence. Gratitude does not grow from more acquisitions. Gratitude does not grow from getting more stuff. Gratitude grows from an awareness of God's presence and His goodness. I want you to listen to Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5. You can follow along on the screen if you would like to. But here, the psalmist recounts some of God's goodness, and I want you to be able to start to think again about what you are grateful for. Psalm 103, we got a hum. Okay, thank you. So anyway, he says this, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now, what are His benefits? It's this. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So if you haven't caught on, these are the things that maybe you can be writing down already on your gratitude list. Like, God, I'm thankful for the fact that you forgive. As far as the east is from the west, no matter how badly I have messed things up, God, your grace is sufficient. That you are a God who heals, both in this life and in the next. That God, you are God who redeems. Do you know how many stories there are of God's redemption? However many there are in this room, and then millions more, right? Like, God has so many stories of His redemption. He crowns us with love, His overwhelming love. Scripture even says that He sings over us. Yeah. He satisfies us with good things. Friends, what you need to know this morning is that the God of the universe, the one who spoke everything into existence, is for you. He is for your good. And if we reflect on who He is, if we spend time with Him in His presence, our souls will naturally begin to overflow with gratitude, because gratitude flows from God's presence. That means that an ungrateful Christian should be an oxymoron, right? Like, that should not be the case, to be an ungrateful Christian, because we are the ones who live in God's presence. Yeah. Gratitude flows from God's presence. The second thing is, gratitude also grows out of humility. James 4:10, very familiar verse. It says this, that humble yourself, James says, before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Something you need to understand very clearly. Prideful people are not grateful people, ever. Prideful people are not grateful people because they believe they've earned everything they had. So what are they to be grateful for? I had a conversation a few months back with a third generation farmer, and he's from my area of town, so he's not from around here, because none of us would do that around here. But I had a conversation with a third generation farmer, and he was talking to me about how hard he worked and how much he's earned everything that he has, and he's been successful. And the truth is, the kid works hard. He is a hard worker. And he's on target. He's sharp. But he had overlooked the reality that if it was not for his grandfather and then the faithfulness of his father, the opportunities that he had, there would be no way that he'd be able to do what he is doing. And the truth is, as I listened to him, I found myself a little frustrated and irritated around the arrogance that's there. You could feel the lack of gratitude inside of him. You see, pride makes us think we have earned everything and we are owed everything. And pride is dangerous. Romans 1, Paul says that. He says this of us as humans. He says, for although they knew God, this seems to be the problem with all of us. Though they knew God, they neither glorified him nor gave him thanks. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Friends, everything, the air we breathe, is a gift from God. But when we see ourselves as entitled or owed something, we lose that sense of humble gratitude, and our hearts, like Paul said, our foolish hearts become darkened. Gratitude will never grow out of pride. It grows out of humility. So it grows out of the presence of God. It grows from humility. And then the question is, why would we cherish gratitude over pride or other things? Well, as we've already suggested, gratitude leads to a full life. And as a Jewish man, and specifically a rabbi, Jesus both knew and modeled that. See, every Jew, and here's where we're going to start to write more stuff down on your gratitude card. Every Jew, Jewish man, prayed two prayers. One of them we're very familiar with. It is the Shema, found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. And it's the Shema because that's the first Hebrew word in that passage. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echud. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And the reason they prayed that was because they knew that gratitude comes from God's presence. And so every day, multiple times a day, they would pray the Shema. Hear, O Israel, God, it's about you. It's about the one God and about us loving you and responding to your grace and to your goodness. That's what it's all about. They recited the Shema. The second prayer that they would pray is one that's a little less known. It's called the 18. The full name would be the 18 benedictions. Now, the word benediction in our language, in English, comes from the root diction, which means word, and bene, which means good or blessed. So a benediction was a prayer that began with, blessed are you, God. And they would pray the 18 all the time. We'll see that as we look through Scripture. They'd pray it when they woke up in the morning. They'd pray it before they went to bed at night. They'd pray it in the middle of the day. And the rabbis would teach their Talmudim, their students, they would teach them how to expand on that prayer, which is why the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus, teach me how to pray. What they were doing was say, teach me how to pray the 18. What am I to be blessed for? What am I to bless God for? And so Jesus begins by saying, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's what we are to be thankful for. So they would expand and they would teach them prayers like, blessed are you, Lord, who heal the sick, because they would remember that they have a body and that they have been sick and that God is the one who heals. They would pray prayers like, blessed are you, God, who sustains the living and raises the dead, because they needed to be reminded that they had a hope both in this life, in the God who sustains them, and in the God who would raise them from the dead. They had a blessing for everything. And you know why they had that? Because they knew that gratitude brought life. They were training for gratitude. And gratitude, as we said, doesn't come when we get more stuff. That is the insane trap of our culture today, is that we constantly think that gratitude comes from external circumstances. But it doesn't. It comes when we see reality as it is. And what is reality as it is? It is that God is the great benefactor, right? He is the one who has given us everything. We are the beneficiaries. We are the ones who receive those blessings. And so our natural response is benedictions. It is words of blessing that we give to God. So they would pray the 18 benedictions. They would pray an extra 18 benedictions on the Sabbath. Because why? They were glad they didn't have to work for the day. So they thanked God. And they were obsessed with how and how often they prayed this. There were formulas for it, and they debated about what's the best way to thank God. They were like in competition, in a good way, of how do you bless God? The 18 were also called the Amidah, which is the Hebrew word for standing. Because you would never pray the benediction. You'd never bless God while you're sitting because you might drift off or fall asleep. And it was reverent to stand up. And so you would stand when you prayed the 18. They discussed the best ways to say them. Rabbis, these are all rabbinical sayings. Rabbis would say, never say the 18 when you're on a donkey. Why? Well, because if you were on a donkey, you might be prideful and think that you were a man of stature and position. And so if you were going to pray the 18, you got off of the donkey and you stood with your feet firmly planted on the ground so that you could remember who you were in God's sight. So don't say the benedictions on a donkey, all right? They would regularly gather in the temple to pray the benedictions. You can see this as we read between the lines in the New Testament. Acts chapter 3 says this, one day Peter and John were going up the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Well, what was that about? Well, they gathered together at the temple at 3 in the afternoon to pray the 18. They would pause and do that, and they would do it in the temple. Why? What did the temple remind the Jews? That God was present with them. And where does gratitude come from? It comes from the presence of God. And so they would pray them inside of the temple. That's what they would do. And if you couldn't get to the temple, guess what you were supposed to do? Turn your body towards the Holy of Holies. So at least you would be thinking about the temple. They'd remember his presence in their midst. And rabbis would even have things for those of us who are directionally challenged. Like if you were somewhere and you didn't know which way to face the temple, they would say things like this. One who is sitting on a ship must turn his heart in the direction of the Holy of Holies. So even if you don't know east from west, you say, turn your hearts in the direction of the Holy of Holies, because it's in God's presence that we're reminded of all of our blessings, and out of that we respond. So, are you filling out your 18? Are you remembering all the reasons you have to be grateful for? Every meal was an expression to express gratitude. Food was not eaten until people stopped and remembered it was a gift. That's why we get our tradition of praying before a meal. They didn't just inhale it like we do now. A rabbi said, a man must not taste anything until he has blessed it. And again, they weren't so much blessing the food as they were being reminded of the one who gave them the food. Like, God, you have provided all of this for me. So whenever they blessed the food, they remembered who God is. It's like Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything belongs to God and everything is a gift. They were so serious about this whole business of gratitude that certain rabbis believed that if you forgot to give a blessing before the food, that you'd have to go back to the place where you ate the food in order to give the blessing. So if you're on the road, you couldn't pause on the road and go, okay, I'm sorry, I forgot, I need to, you know, say the blessing. You'd have to turn around and walk all the way back to where you were and say the blessing. And again, this isn't about legalism. Like, I think we have to be cautious. I'm not suggesting some kind of rote rule. But the reason they were so insistent upon this is because they knew that their hearts had to constantly be turned back to the God who gives us so much. So think about that. Like if this was us. Like my son, Ben, when he was away at college, every time he'd land in San Francisco, the first place we'd stop is at the Burlingame Turnout at the In-N-Out Burger. Like, who cannot be grateful when there's an out in the world, right? It is something that we need to thank God for. But imagine what would happen if, like, we went to In-N-Out and, you know, we forgot to, you know, say to 18 before the we inhaled our burger, and we're like across the San Mateo Bridge already on the way home, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, we forgot to, like, say the blessing. We'd like to have to turn around, get back, pay the toll, walk back into In-N-Out Burger, and it's crowded, so you'd have to tell the people who are sitting there to get out so you could sit down, and then you would say with gusto, God, thank you for In-N-Out Burger, and then you'd get up and leave. Like, you don't think that would affect you and the people around you? Like, it's so important to constantly return thanks to God. Jesus did that over and over again. We see it at the Last Supper. When Jesus took the bread, if you read the text, it says he took the bread and broke it and did what? Gave thanks. And then, a little bit later, he took the wine and he raised it and he did what? He gave thanks. So he did what a Jewish man would be doing. They didn't just give a general thanks over all the food. Every time a new item came across their way, they paused to say the 18. To say that blessing to God every single time. Friends, they had blessings for everything. They had a blessing for a lamp. Because to have light in the world is such a gift. And so when they'd light a lamp, they would say a blessing over that. Could you imagine what that'd be like for us if every time you flipped on a light switch, you were actually grateful for the fact that it turned a light on and you weren't in the dark? Do you know how miserable it is to walk through your house and stub your toes and all that kind of stuff and you can just flip on a light? Do we ever pause and go, God, that is amazing. Blessed are you, God, for making electric light bulbs. Like, thank you, God. They had blessings for seeing a comet. They had blessings for the ocean, which is a blessing I can say as well. God, thank you for creating the ocean. They had blessings for visiting a holy place, blessings for rain, blessings for completing a home. No occasion was too menial. Disciples would follow their rabbis around. The Talmudim would follow their rabbis around, wondering where and how they were going to say the next blessing. In fact, it was so, like, they were so concerned about this that they would actually follow them into the bushes. There's records of them following them into the bushes when they went to the bathroom to hear what they would bless when they went to the bathroom. And there's a written blessing for this. And I'm going to read it. Rabbi Abaye said, blessed are you, O Lord, who has formed man in his wisdom and created him in him many orifices and many cavities. Now that may sound strange and coarse until one of those orifices or cavities quits working, to which when it begins working, you're very thankful again, aren't you? Now I want you to pause for a moment. And just pay attention to what's going on in your spirit. Is it lifted or is it depressed? It's lifted, right? Why? Because we've just paused for a few moments to say, thank you, God. To turn our attention to all that God has given us. And gratitude, friends, it leads to a good life. And not just for us, but for everyone else as well. My last point is gratitude leads to generosity. 1 John 4:19 says this, we love because he first loved us. And I've said this 100 times, and that is, we are conduits, not generators. So we have nothing to give away that has not first been given to us. And so when we realize that, we naturally begin to be generous towards others. When we realize that everything we have, our time, our finances, our talents, our relationships, everything is given from a God who has limitless resources. Limitless resources. So when we realize that everything we have has been given to him, guess what? we can go from this with our things to this. Because God is the one who will replenish and give. God is the one who will give me everything that I can give away. And friends, that is the best life available. A generous, grateful life. So we're going to end our time together with an exercise. Actually, this is part of the sermon. During the message, you've been making a gratitude list. And you've been writing down your own 18 benedictions. And there are two microphones here that we're going to raise up in just a moment. And as I pray, Dave, when I do this, can you lift that one up a moment? When I pray, I'm going to ask you, as you feel led, to stand up and to walk over. And if you need to form a line, we form a line for communion. We'll form a line for a little bit of gratitude. And I want you to simply speak a word or two of gratitude, to say, bless God for, thank you for, or just say what it is. I am going to put a little bit of restriction on it. No paragraphs, no stories, no preaching. That's my job, at least for right now. But just a simple word that says, God, thank you for, and then see what happens. I think that's enough instruction, right? So the band's going to come up as I pray, and hopefully by the time I say amen, there'll be a few of you who are already waiting over here. So let me pray for us. God, we have so much to be grateful for, from family and friends, from the love and grace and forgiveness and truth you have given us, to this community that sits here together. And God, forgive us for the times that we forget to give thanks. Forgive us for the times we think we earn it or it's ours. Forgive us of our pride. And so today, in humility, in your presence, God, may we come and stand, and may we say the 18. And would it rewire our hearts and rewire our minds to be more and more grateful, to be the kind of people who others love to be around, that we would be the sweet aroma that the world desperately needs. So God, we thank you. We thank you for everything you have given us and all you are. In Jesus' name, amen.